Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is across from me. Papa's his favorite title, but there's other names for him around here. All encouraging and positive.
And a few not so encouraging and positive.
I don't know. What name would anybody call you that's not encouraging?
Well, it's some of the seven words we're not allowed to say on the
air.
Oh,
really? Okay. I don't remember that. You've been around for 30 or 40 years.
The seven
years.
Dirty words of, what was George Carlin?
Yes.
Okay.
You can't say them.
No. Well, we could, but if Rob has his finger on the cutoff button.
Are you familiar with them? Do you know what they are?
I do.
You don't need any definitions or
no,
anything?
No, I fully understand them. Having been called them quite often.
Really? You must have been quite the leader around here to be called all those bad names. Well, we have a tweet from Congressman Fred Keller. He just tweeted, we need the USMCA now, exclamation point. Passing the USMCA would mean $68 billion in new economic growth and would increase U.S. agriculture and food exports by nearly $2 billion annually. 17,000 Pennsylvania agriculture jobs would benefit. I tell you that because, you know, if he was doing another partisan tweet this morning, then I would surely call him out, but this, like 50% of his tweets or so, do relate to actual issues that aren't being addressed. I mean, he's working as hard as he can for them, but the House is focused on one thing and one thing only.
Right. Let's impeach the president. Let's get her done. Get her done. Let's get him out of there.
And we do have some emails pending, so we will read those on the radio. We have some, no text. Thought we had a text, but no text is present, so you can send us a message via the Text Connect system. That's our emergency notification system, not the emergency alert system, which is a separate system altogether.
Beep, 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 beep.
Right. We know what it sounds like. Thank you.
Actually, it sounds like somebody's ringing a chicken's neck. That we got to pick the better tone for that. I lobbied when I was chairman of the Emergency Communications Committee to get a better tone, something more cheerful like da-da-da-da-da-da.
I like the tones that they use. Well, never mind. Scratch that. But suffice to say that the tones are fine.
Okay. Well, right. If you're happy with them, I'm happy
anyway,
with them.
You can,
you're the boss.
You can use
you know it all.
This is the Joe McGranahan show. You're all wound up today.
Oh, I'm happy.
Really? Why?
Yes, because the radar bill came out of the House Transportation Committee, but now I'm very unhappy because of its provisions.
All right, we'll talk about that one split second.
Well, let's talk about it now. Forget everything else.
You're welcome to text us at 70236. For a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you haven't yet signed up for Text Connect, it's the easy way for you to be notified about any breaking national or local news, dead celebrities, tornadic weather, or closed roads around here. Text Connect system is our way of notifying you, and there's no catch. It is simply a method of notifying you that there's something we've posted at WKOK.com. We don't sell the list. Doesn't matter how
but
many.
I purchased it. I made Rob the three-pie offer, and he took it.
Oh, no. He sold you the list.
He sold me the
All
list.
All right, so now Joe McGranahan has the phone list. What are you going to do with 2,000 cell phone numbers?
Well, you'd be surprised.
Call them.
Call them. Call them up.
And offer them the three. Tell them.
I'm going to get back at all the people who call me at
right,
all hours
call
of the day
your
and night.
Phone. Right, there you
with
go.
With sales pitches. So I'm going
do you get early morning spam?
No, not early. Usually in the day and in the evening.
Right. Yeah, I don't
the ones that irritate me most are the ones where the phone rings, you pick it up, and there's no one there.
Right. Well, they're waiting. They're there. They're just waiting for you to say hello a couple of times. You are welcome throughout our program to email us as a couple of individuals. individuals have done. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Our toll-free line is open. It's the WKOK Live telephone talk show, so please call us now, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And you can text, nope, I said that. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Please check them out at sunburymotors.com. Okay, so your silly radar bill is making it through.
It's not a silly radar bill.
That will allow municipalities to abuse the speed laws and bring in thousands of dollars.
Actually, no, it won't. Here's your problem, my friend. They've limited the amount of money that any municipality can make on fines from use of radar to 10% of their municipal budget. Any amount more than that would have to go directly to the state.
You'd 10% of their budget? And that
that's
would be
a
hundreds,
lot.
That
I mean,
hundreds
I,
of thousands of dollars.
I can't imagine any municipality would have the time to send somebody out to do that type of thing.
So in Northumberland, that would be about $300,000.
Somewhere in there.
Well, their budget's $3 million or
$3 million. All right, yeah. So made more than $300,000. Using radar,
oh,
they'd have
gosh.
To give it all to the state, give it anything else over and above that to the state.
What did Noria Police do? Well, they only do one thing all year. I don't think you could do it even if you if they did nothing
any
else.
Any municipality, unless, you know, what was that guy in Harlton who used to have a speed trap out there? I don't know what Harlton's budget might be, but it's possible that they could have made more than 10% of their budget out there using that. Mm, but in any event, here's the problem. Once you decide to use radar in your community, you have to pass an ordinance posting signs at all the major thoroughfares.
That says radar enforce.
Saying, yes, we use radar to enforce our speed. For the first 90 days, you may not give any tickets, just warnings for 90 days. And then any time you use radar, you have to be completely visible to the public and in a stationary marked vehicle.
and what about the size of the police department?
Oh, that's not important to them. But you have to have 24-hour a day, 7-day a week, 365-day a year coverage and investigative capabilities. Now, I don't know any department around here that has that.
No.
Maybe Buffalo
Valley.
No, they're not 24 hours a day.
Sunbury, yes, sure. They have a dozen police and almost a dozen
officers.
Oh, do
they? Okay, well, then maybe they... Well, I when I talked to Linda Culver, and I must mention, Linda Culver's on the House Transportation Committee. She's been great, very helpful, worked very hard
to
try and get this out.
Say the same about you.
Well, I think that Linda's just done an outstanding job on this, and, you know, we've kind of tied her hands behind her back because some things she thought we ought to do, we didn't do. But apparently what the hope is of the State Mayors Association and the Radar Coalition is that when the bill gets on the House floor, someone will introduce legislation reverting back to the original language.
Mm-hmm.
And the original language would be all municipal police would be allowed to use it.
Okay.
But still all these other qualifications would take place. The worst one is that it has to be what they call a full-time police department. I mean, every officer who uses it has to get training, has to go to an approved state police class and approved by the state municipal police training authority.
That's already...
So that's part of the bill.
Right, and that's the way it is for other speedy use devices, right? You have to be trained and individual officers have to be certified.
Well, and the equipment has to be certified, you know, and there's no guarantee that municipalities would use it. I mean, it's a tool. You may use the tool, you may not use the tool. Nothing
right.
says you have to have an SUV for a police car. You can have a regular car. Well,
I'm
I know
skeptical.
You are.
I think too many municipalities are going to abuse it, and I think speed laws are...
But you're missing a major point.
Am I?
Yes, you
Enlighten
are.
Enlighten me.
Because with what we have right now, NRAD, we could run speed traps all over the borough of Shamokin Dam.
All day long.
We could get more than 20
You could
or
have
30,
a 24-7 department.
We could get 30% of our budget if we wanted to out of it, you know, just by setting up constantly. They put in there that you can't have, if the speed limit is lower than 55 miles per hour, you cannot arrest anybody unless they've gone 10 miles over the existing posted limit.
Mm-hmm.
And on all other roads, it has to be at least 6 miles above the existing limit before you can be ticketed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, I think what our state legislators were concerned about is all of a sudden that people, their constituents would start getting tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're worried about them getting tickets. I see a member of the state house was just arrested for speeding in at a 35 mile per hour zone out in Enola.
Right.
They originally arrested him for being under the influence, but it turns out he wasn't.
Right. We're going to have to cover that because we did cover the fact that he was charged, so we have to cover the fact that he's not charged now. So we'll do that in a moment. All right, well, we are enjoying open phones. Joe's all fired up because the watered down and highly unnecessary radar bill
is not unnecessary.
Making it out of
house. Do you realize Pennsylvania has the worst record for speed-related fatalities in the country?
How many is that? One?
No, it's... Look it up.
No,
I'm not going to educate you any further. I can see it's a waste of my
time.
Okay,
so two people died in speed-related crashes last year.
Unfortunately, more than that.
Oh, yeah. All right, three, and that's as high as I go. Buzz, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Just listening to that reminds me of a couple of weeks ago when we were having a really bad windstorm and up on the hill in Norrie. That's not just there, but everywhere. But and I was thinking, you know, they never blow the fire siren anymore because everybody has these personal pagers. I don't know about some of your other communities, but I know in Northumberland they don't blow the siren anymore to alert the volunteers. I was wondering, wouldn't it make sense to use the city siren or the borough siren for emergencies? Like, we're sitting there wondering, should we go to the basement? What should we do? If they blew that siren, which they hardly ever use, that would tell people there's some kind of emergency and tuned to a certain channel or something. I mean, does that make sense? Am I getting through on that?
Buzz, I think some places do it. I know when there was that bad storm with high wind and hail that hit Sealands Grove in that area, they did blow a siren down there because my daughter-in-law and grandson were home at the time and went to the basement. But I don't know how many others do it. You're right. I can remember the day when if the fire truck was called, they would blow the siren to summon the police or the firemen. But now, you're right, it's all personal pagers. So we don't know.
And I just wonder, you know, do you have to approach each borough individually, or is that a state thing? But I just think it would have helped us a lot to know whether to go to the basement or not. I know, of course, in the Midwest, where they have a lot of tornadoes and high winds, that's something that's very common there. But just, again, just thinking in the borough of Northumberland, they don't blow the siren anymore, but if they did, we would know as residents there's some kind of a weather emergency.
Well, test the siren every day?
Do they?
I think they tested at 5 p.m.
I think they used to do it at noon on Saturdays. I don't know.
Every day?
I never hear it anymore.
Okay.
I can't believe they do it every day.
I don't always have my hearing aids in either.
Oh, I hear some siren going off at 5 o'clock, but maybe that's from Sunbury. They still blow their fire whistle at 7:30.
Yeah.
Right.
That's all, guys. Thank you.
Thanks,
all right,
Buzz.
Thank you.
Appreciate
a lot of good
call.
Questions. Well, I think you didn't hear the siren to go to the basement because you didn't have to go to the basement. So that's why you didn't hear it. But Norrie still has a siren, and it is part of their emergency notification system.
Buzz makes a good point about using it, but if you don't know what it stands for, you're not going to take appropriate action. Just blowing a siren, unless you have, you know, I remember the old days of civil defense. I used to be in the Ground Observer Corps. Did you know that?
That wouldn't surprise me.
When I was a kid. But they used to have a series of patterns for sirens that would tell you what was going on, like all clear, air raid, or whatever. You know, you'd have to have some kind of a list published that said one long and one short blast means there's a tornado warning, get to the basement, or something like that.
Okay.
You'd have to know what the siren was telling you.
Well, municipalities were more cohesive then. Now we're more disparate. So everybody doesn't know what everybody else is
disparate?
Doing.
Disparate? Which parrot are you talking about? This one over here or that one over there?
We're disparate. We're separated. We're not all on the same page.
I understand.
Although we all get the Pine Knotter News in Norrie. There's all kinds of useful information in there.
Well, apparently nothing about the siren.
I wouldn't say that. I'll bet there is. I'll bet there's something in there. Well, we have open phones right now. We started out talking about the unnecessary radar bill that Joe's all gleeful because it made it out of committee, although because of some recent provisions, it won't apply to Shamokin Dam, where he is the mayor and oversees the police department, and would like his officers to have all the tools that are necessary to them. I remain skeptical, very concerned about the fact that speed limits are posted too low around here in the first place, and secondly, I think some municipalities will abuse it.
What speed limit is posted too low around here? Just out of curiosity. Mark Lawrence says, Mark Topia, what are the speed limits there?
Too low? Let's see. There's a 25-mile-per-hour section of Front Street in Norrie. There's the Old Trail, I think. Does Old Trail have a 30-mile-per-hour section?
35. No, I think it's 35.
I think it's 30.
I think it's 35 because we asked them to lower it to 30. Maybe they did, but I know years ago we had a terrible accident down on the Old Trail, and we asked them to lower the rate.
Well, that wasn't speed-related anyway. We'll take more comers on this.
How do you know what I'm talking about?
The speed limit is 30 on a section. I know for a fact. On a section of the old trail in Shamokin Dam. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Does anyone else think that some speed limits around here are too low? Are there any speed limits around here that are too high?
Well, here's something I should tell you. There is a group that opposed radar, and they say that the speed limit should be set to the 85th percentile. In other words, what the average 85% of the drivers use. Now, let's say you're right, and the speed limits are too low, and people actually go 10 miles per hour over the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
So if 85% of the people go 10 miles over the speed limit will be changed to reflect that 10%.
Right, up to 45 on the old
trail. Right. So then people start going faster than that. It's 45. They decide to go 55. And then you change the speed limit again because now 85% are going even faster.
That's conventional wisdom, but that's not how it works. People achieve the speed that they think is safe and is satisfactory for the particular road.
Right, but that's an individual decision. Someone else to make a decision for the whole group of us that this is too fast or this is too slow.
Okay. All righty. We'll take a quick break. Do you have any opinion about the radar law or the speed limits around here? Give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'd love to hear from you. I think municipalities will abuse it. Joe says, what? Give us a call. Right here on WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. One of our listeners on the topic of speed limits is very, very wise. She says, good morning. Wow. I agree with both of you today. Yes, Mark, there is a 30-mile-per-hour section of the old trail right behind McDonald's. Well, it's in all of Shamokin Dam on the old trail.
Well, one of our listeners says who has...
Wait a minute. I'm not done reading.
I'm sorry. Which one are you reading?
The one that you're moving around so I can no longer read it. Anyways,
you do that to me all the time.
So okay, there is a 30-mile-per-hour section. Go ahead. Right behind McDonald's in that section, but it's the whole borough of Shamokin Dam on the old trail. And Joe, no, I would not like to see the speed limit lowered either. I think it's what you just said. People always go over the speed limit. Well, that is true, yeah. I mean, I set my cruise at 33 when I'm in Shamokin Dam on the old trail.
Well, if 85% of the people exceed the speed limit under this guy's proposition, you'd raise the speed limit.
Okay, well, that's
and
a
don't
good
you
idea.
See how if you continue to do that, over time you would have 120 mile per hour speed limits.
Well, can't
on the
you
old
have
trail.
A base though?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The state or the municipality, in its wisdom, and hopefully it has some, has determined what the speed should be on particular roads.
Mm-hmm,
now, what
mm-hmm,
the state
mm-hmm.
believes with this, the changes they've added to this radar bill, is that municipalities will like put in a 10 mile per hour speed limit and then sit there, you know, let the speed limit be 35 miles per hour here, and then a little bit further it's down to 10 miles per hour, and they sit there in the 10 mile per mm-hmm. hour zone waiting to nail people. So there's a provision in this bill that you cannot within 500 feet of a change in speed set up a
500 feet
yeah set up a speed trap, if you will, using radar at the lower end of that scale.
I don't know that you could do radar on the old trail in Shamokin Dam then, because it's probably not more, is it more than 1,000 feet long in Shamokin Dam?
The old trail? Yeah. It's considerably longer.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, I don't know. It seems short to me, but...
It's like 2 miles?
In the borough.
Pretty much. I'd have to go back and measure it for sure, but I think it's about 2 miles.
You got a bone up on your old trail knowledge.
Well, the number of times I have to measure roads in the borough is rather limited. Although under this law, we would have to get our speed limit certified by PennDOT.
Okay.
To make certain that we haven't arbitrarily selected too low of a speed limit on our roads to accommodate radar. So, but I think they probably covered that by saying that if the speed limit's lower than 55, you cannot tag anybody unless they're at least 10 miles per hour over whatever the speed limit is.
Well, and I think that there is provisions in state laws that changes in the speed limit. The changes in the where the speed limit changes, there's already restrictions, although 500 feet sounds like a long way. Like in Nori, you'd be halfway to King Street Park till you could enforce the speed law there.
Well, I mean, I think it's important to let people slow down before you ticket them. And I agree with the concept that having a speed trap set right where the speed limit drops is not very fair. I would not like that, and I wouldn't want our police doing
it. Yeah, how many times
it.
Have you been stopped for speeding? Holy smokes.
Three in my lifetime.
That's all
three.
Together?
All together, three.
Really?
Yes. And one of them I got off of.
Okay, noted. Did you use an attorney?
Of course, it cost me a few bucks for the attorney.
Well, sure, right. But you thought you were unfairly captured in that case.
I did. I wasn't going as fast. I know I wasn't going as fast. I had my car in cruise control, and I was not going as fast as the officer said I was.
So it was a matter of principle. Well, you didn't get any points. If you'd have just rolled over, then you'd have gotten some points.
Right, but I didn't get any points.
Right, which you don't need those at your age. All right.
I can use all the points I can get.
No, not those kind. let's see. One of our listeners sends us a text. Go ahead, Joe.
Says, good morning. I think we need to raise the local speed limits to 30 miles per hour in towns.
I agree with that. Yeah, 25 is too low.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. 147 through Northumberland is too low at 25.
Well, yeah, Route 11 south going through Norrie on Front Street is 25.
Now, that's a state route, so the state sets the speed limit.
Well, they did so on the request of citizens. And for example, the Water Street people on Route 11 northbound, that's 35 the whole way.
Is it?
And people don't go much over 35. That is not a big speeding route. The fastest speeding in Norrie lately is in the alleys, but that's another topic.
Well, municipalities have ways to do what's called traffic calming. Stop signs are a great way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You could set the speed limit to 35, but if you put a stop sign every block, people are not going to get much above that because they're going to be stopping and starting and stopping
right.
and starting.
Well, and they do bump outs, too. You see those in Bloomsburg and Lewisburg where they do bump outs where the curb goes out to the lane, and so motorists have to go slower.
Well, we had on Maple Street in Shebokin Dam, we have a continuing issue of people going a little too fast, and council a few years ago put in stop signs at a couple of key locations to slow it down, and that works.
Okay. Well, we don't need more stop signs, that's for sure.
Oh, so what do we do? No speed limits, no stop signs. Boy, we're going to have a fun day in driving around in Marktopia.
Well, I think we should have reasonable speed limits. I think we should have a speed limit. There's nothing wrong with making a 30-mile-per-hour speed limit in a town. But if it's a numbered highway, 25 is too low, in my opinion.
Well, you may have a point, but it depends on lines of sight, how many things are coming at you, how many, driveways or entrances or exits to the
right.
street
and
or
plus
around.
People on that street may want the slower speed limit because
right, whether
of
children
kids
are playing or right, whether there's a large contingent of older people in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand the need to have lower limits at some places, but I can also understand your argument that speed limits should perhaps be generally higher, somewhat higher.
All right. We're in full agreement to that.
No,
we disagree.
Not full agreement. Partial agreement.
We're in full agreement that we disagree. Read this good email here if you do. It does
all
not
right.
relate to speeding.
Another important bill being held up by the dishonest U.S. House leadership. Freed Vets Act would grant federal student loan forgiveness to permanently disabled veterans. In August, President Trump signed an executive order making this policy and 25,000 disabled veterans qualified to have their debt forgiven. The average balance erased would be around $30,000. The president said veterans would not be required to pay federal taxes on their forgiven debt. However, recent records revealed the U.S. Department of Education continued to seek repayment on $1 billion in student loans from more than 40,000 severely disabled veterans who had been deemed unable to work. More than 25,000 of them are in default, and just 8,500 of them have applied for forgiveness. Republican tax law in 2017 removed any federal tax liability associated with loans canceled through the Total and Permanent Disability Loan Discharge Program. Sounds like a reasonable bill to me.
Oh,
if someone became totally disabled, their student loans ought to be forgiven, don't you think?
I thought we drained the swamp, but we still have this stuff going on.
There are still creatures lurking in the swamp.
Okay. All right.
The president has the plug in his hand, and he's trying to drain it.
Right. Well, and this is the kind of thing that if you follow Fred Keller's tweets, if you follow Fred Keller's tweets, half of the tweets do deal with things like this that are just plain stuck, which you could strongly disagree with this change in law or agree with it, you know, regardless. But there's not going to be any action on it because they're stuck on impeachment.
And we should mention, because you are not just being funny when you say Fred Trump.
Oh, I know.
You have a man that you worked with for many years by the name of Fred Trump, who ran the Bloomsburg Fair.
Right.
And it's hard for you to break that habit. When you say Fred, you want to say Trump.
Right. Well, particularly when we're talking about national issues that relate to the president. But, yeah, as I mentioned before,
Could be worse. Suppose Fred Keller was at the Bloomsburg Fair. That would really mess you up.
He probably was. It's in his region now. All right. So, yeah, I think Fred Keller, Congressman Keller, has a point when he talks about the fact that the USMCA and a wide range of other bills just aren't seeing any light at all because of this. But fortunately, as he and, well, Congressman Muser said it over the weekend, too, or last Thursday when he talked to us, that they are spending their time, not biding their time, but working hard in their district and elsewhere to make sure that if they can't, you know, work on actionable items, they're doing whatever they can in the district and doing whatever they can in Washington, staying busy.
Right. Well, I think they should.
To be continued, we have an open phones hour ahead. We have one individual who may have an answer as it relates to Northumberland's fire whistle, so we'll talk about that. We can talk about more speed laws. We can talk about the impeachment of President Trump and anything else. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe's across from me. Mr. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer. He's doing a super-duper job, so we appreciate all his help and hard work. Matt Catrillo's over in the newsroom. He's clackety-clacking away about something, so something's happening today. He tells us one road project popped up today. Schwaben Creek Road got to be closed near Greenbrier Road. That's because of a pipe replacement project. That is today, all day. From the borough of Northumberland, Jan Bowman, the borough manager, tells us that the borough no longer owns a borough-wide siren for any purpose to summon firefighters or to use in emergencies. And they instead rely on other emergency management techniques, including notifying radio stations, cell phone warnings that are dispatched through the EMA over in the county zone, and PEMA. And so you do hear a test at 5 p.m. daily, and that's Point Township. Fire siren is still in use and still tested daily. So that's how that relates to that. Let's talk to Eric briefly here. Eric, local municipalities, that's what we're talking about, these fire sirens. What's your view on this?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Actually, I want to bounce back to the previous topic, which was the radar. I, frankly, as a quote-unquote law-abiding citizen, have no problem with local authorities having more ability to enforce the law. However, where the problem comes in, as demonstrated locally with us, is when they abuse that power. And I point out, it was known notoriously out in Western Union County in the town of Laurelton. They had officer there who was always nailing people in their speed trap.
Oh, well. Hartleton, not Laurelton.
Hartleton, I beg your pardon. Hartleton, yes. The huge metropolis of Halton, and they had a police officer who, that's all he did. Also, in our own Snyder County, out in the western Snyder County, I think it was Beaver Springs, had a police officer. And they would position themselves right where the speed limit went from 55, what it was, right to 35. And as soon as they hit the 35, they'd nail you. And again, why did they need a police department?
Well, this bill.
I think the Perdix still has theirs. They have that little area there outside of Marysville where there's maybe, 20 or 30 homes? They all, and again, it was just to generate revenue for the local municipality.
Eric, this bill prevents that. It doesn't allow you to set up within 500 feet of a speed change like that.
Okay, good, good. That's good to hear.
You know, and it also limits the amount of money a municipality can make as a percentage of their budget.
Okay. So this would bring about some controls over where there's been abuse in the past. And, of course, we remember the story of what they were doing with that money out in Hartleton. They were saying, hey, we can throw the money towards our benevolent fund or our recreation fund. You don't pay the ticket. And likewise, the gentleman out in Beaver Springs, he was also nailed for something else, too, and they no longer do that. But, again, I'm concerned about the abuse of power that formerly, apparently, under the old regulations could happen.
Well, under this bill, it would be awfully difficult for anyone to do anything like that. And so I don't think anybody, I know the State Mayor's Association, that I'm honored to serve as the vice president of, has no problem with those restrictions. What we have a problem with is that they want to limit it to full-time, what they call full-time police department. If the officer has the training, there's no difference to whether he's in a department with three people or a department with 30 people. The issue is whether or not the municipality will pay for the training, pay for the equipment, and make certain that the equipment is correctly calibrated and that all the other rules are followed. If that happens, what difference does it make what size the police department is?
So you feel this legislation is slated just to benefit larger departments than obviously a more robust urban areas?
That's the way they wrote it. I mean, I can think of a few. Years ago, I was on borough council in Chambersburg. Chambersburg has a 35-man police department with detectives, maybe even more than that now. They would certainly qualify to use radar. But the number of places where they could effectively use it in their community, I can think of about five or six where you know, it would make a real impact. And I can think of the same thing in Shamokin Dam, but Shamokin Dam wouldn't be allowed to use it because we have a police department that is not 5 days a week or 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, fully staffed.
Also, would they only be able to use this within the borough boundaries?
Well, yeah.
Is that also correct?
Well, yes, because unless you're called out of the borough by the state police or another municipality, your authority ends at the borough lines.
Unless there was a crime committed at the borough, and then they can chase or pursue someone outside
right.
the borough?
They are allowed to do that. But they couldn't drag the radar with them and start randomly shooting at people as they go.
But the radar, of course, we're talking about now. We're talking about shooting. We're not
right.
Right. All right.
Yeah, because I think in Seals Grove, there's a portion of up there on the bypass which crosses through the borough. I would love to see Seals Grove up there more. I would just coming, driving this morning and got caught between, you know, a guy passing me on the right at 70 and the guy pushed me from behind going 70. You know, I was like, you know, coming on the bypass there.
They
I'd love to have Sales Group have more ability to enforce, you know, the speed there within that 1 mile or whatever where the bypass crosses the borough. I'd love to have more enforcement up there.
They do that, and they do occasionally do that. And in other towns around here, for example, Montoursville would do speed enforcement on Route 180, and Williamsport does enforcement on the sections of, what is it? Not 225, but 220 and 15 and 180 that go through town there. So they're up on the road occasionally.
And I can't think of the name of the town. That's terrible. Right outside of Duncannon, where it's actually north, I guess, as you're coming up there. Where they had the state police or the state refused to allow the local municipality to
Liverpool?
Patrol on the highway. No, it's on the other side of the river. That was the other speed trap on the other side of the river. It's not Duncannon. It's north of Duncannon.
Dauphin.
Yes, Dauphinborough. That's it. That's what I was trying to think of. They would not allow them to, when they built the bypass there, they would not allow them to patrol, their police department patrol there, because they were one of the places that set the speed limit
too low
and then sat on the other side of it waiting to grab somebody.
Yeah, that was notorious in there in the old days. I remember that, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call, Eric. 1-800-795-9565. Two texts relate to speeding.
One of them says, Shamokin Dam sets up speed traps at the 35-mile-per-hour zone in Shamokin Dam at the bridge, less than 500 foot from where the speed changes. But, Bob, what you're looking at is not correct because the speed goes from a lower number to a higher number.
What are you talking about?
Oh, people start going. It's the same speed limit. It's 40 miles per hour. He's talking about the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
At a lot of times when Shamokin Dam does do speed control, they do it on the other side of Baldwin Boulevard.
Okay.
And that's because people hit there, and all of a sudden they start flooring it. The speed limit's the same on both sides of that intersection, 40
mm-hmm.
miles per hour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But some people, the minute they hit the red light or the green light at Baldwin Boulevard, take off like a bat out of Hades.
Okay. All right.
And the speed limit hasn't changed, and they're still
they're
right
going
there.
Faster. Well, and that 500-foot restriction is for the new radar bell. Currently, boroughs don't have that
restriction.
There
right.
is a restriction, but it's hardly that. It's much shorter.
Then another writer says, Harlton would let you off the hook for speeding if you donated money to one of their charities. The police chief was busted. Yes, he was, wasn't he?
Right. It was you donate to the municipal park.
Park. And that didn't have anything to do with the ticket. You just made a personal contribution to him, and which he sent to the park, right? Is that the way that works?
No. You would have to donate to the park, but then he would not write. He would not formalize the speeding ticket. So,
I'm never sure how that worked. You didn't give him the money; you gave it to the
municipality. No, if you had promised that you're going to send money to the park, you'd be okay.
What happened if you promised and never did?
Well, I don't know. Can you issue a speeding ticket retroactively?
I don't know.
Although then there'd be, but in any event, he doesn't do that anymore.
They may have a certain amount of time to file a speeding ticket.
He's out of business.
Yes,
they stopped that. All right.
As well, they should have, because that wasn't a very good practice. Neither was Dauphin.
Well, and either is Shamokin Dam doing speed patrol on 11 and 15.
Do you realize how many people want safety on the highways? We did a survey of the business community in the borough, and one of the things we found, one of the issues they felt was important, was maintaining safe speeds on 11 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
Because if people feel safe driving there, they will come into the community and shop. But if they feel it's the Wild West, where everybody's flooring it and cutting people off trying to get where they're going. And we have some unusual situations in the borough, a lot of merges from the off-ramp of the Veterans Memorial Bridge
mm-hmm.
that require good patrolling.
Okay.
And we have people ignoring the signs that say no left turn or no turns at all off Baldwin Boulevard.
There's a lot of ignoring of signs
yes,
around
there
here.
Is.
We have a sign ignoring problem in Norrie right now.
Do you? Who's ignoring signs
Queen
over there?
Street is part of the de facto detour to let you go to Sunbury over the Priestley Bridge, so people cross Water Street on Queen from one side to the other. But many, 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 many people do it.
Okay.
School buses, rabbit transit, cars, many cars.
And they're not supposed to do it.
No, and the police do ticket some people, but it's not a big enforcement thing. But it's a big tempest in a teapot. I mean, it really should be, that should be waived or something, you know, for this construction thing. There's really no reason you shouldn't be able to do it. I could see why you don't want people crossing Water Street when, under normal circumstances, when Route 11 North and South are speeding by. But under these circumstances, you're going into a construction zone, so people are going slow, and it's just Route 11 northbound. The southbounders are already detoured elsewhere.
Oh, okay.
So welcome to Norrie. Have a
okay.
nice day.
I disagree about being able to cross there.
You shouldn't be able to.
I've seen cars flying by there.
Right.
I've seen two cars almost get T-boned already.
Right. Yeah, there are a lot of close calls there. Right. And boy, car after car after car violates it. So,
police don't hand out a lot of tickets there?
A lot would be a relative term. They do hand out some. When people get them, they often put it on Facebook that they got caught there. So, you know, and then they write their ticket out to the unnecessary ticket fund.
Do they complain about being caught doing something that they shouldn't be doing?
I wouldn't say I've heard people complain. I think people would probably like to be permitted to do it during construction. But PennDOT doesn't do that. They don't rescind local laws for a while.
Well, PennDOT has some valid safety concerns, and they enforce those safety concerns.
Right. Well, they're in the wrong in this particular case. What should have happened, since you've asked me, is that they should have blocked the road so you can't get across there, put a divider up the middle so nobody can cross there. then you get your law enforced because there's no way to get across.
I 100% agree with that.
See? Rob understands traffic.
What about safety issues? What if emergency vehicles need to do that?
Well, you could do like a temporary one like they have at Priestley Avenue. When you're coming off the bridge, you're not allowed to go from one section of Priestley to another. So they put up barricades and a fence that an intrepid volunteer firefighter could pull that down in a big hurry. And truckers take it down now, and they don't put it back.
They just run over it, right?
Well, no, they don't. I mean, I haven't seen that, but they have moved it so that they can get around there illegally, and then somebody puts it back. It generally gets back up at some point somehow.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, people make their own rules when it comes to driving sometimes.
Well, yes, there you go. Well, and the speeding in the alleys. Now, that's a pet peeve that does irritate me. And we got a lot of that in Norrie now. All right, some very brief news headlines. Then we'll take a break, but we got open phones. We are talking about speeding, radar, municipal laws, and soon the minimum wage. So here we go. The city of Sunbury is updating its city code. We did an interview last evening with city administrator Jody Auker, who says she's read the book and says it's ready for updating. And she knows a lot of other people that who have been involved longer than her know of some outdated rules in the book.
Also great for some that have been around longer than I have, because you think you know what it says in there, or you haven't looked at it for a while, and your processes may have evolved, but your code or your ordinance didn't keep up with how you're currently doing things. So this helps get us all squared away and reflect what we're actually doing.
This second meeting will be held to review proposed changes, but they do want public input on this. Bucknell University Small Business Development Center is pitching in to help hundreds of former WoodMode and ACF employees who are still out of work. In a release, the Bucknell SBDC tells us, thanks to a state grant, they are launching the Rural Entrepreneurship Initiative for Regional Economic Recovery from the Closure of WoodMode, unquote. It's all thanks to an award given to the SBDC from the state DCED's Neighborhood Assistance Program. SBDC says it'll provide educational program and entrepreneurial skills training through a series of outreach initiatives to the estimated 600 individuals who are still displaced by those particular closures, ACF and WoodMode. A compromise package to raise Pennsylvania's minimum wage for the first time since 2009 began advancing in the legislature Monday, up against a deadline for Democratic Governor Tom Wolf to relent on his effort to extend overtime pay eligibility to thousands of workers in Pennsylvania. A Senate committee passed the newly unveiled measure to raise the minimum wage in four steps to $9.50 an hour by 2022. Talk about a compromise. Holy smokes. Now, it won't take effect till 2022. If you figure out inflation for the minimum wage, it probably would be about $9.15 if you did it now, but this won't take effect for 3 years, so by the time this takes effect, it'll still be 3 years behind. So, isn't that funny? Anyway, all of this is up from the current minimum wage, which you may know as $7.25 per hour. Wolf, who negotiated the bill behind closed doors with leaders of the Republican-controlled legislature, supports the bill. His office said in a statement, quote, while he still believes the minimum wage should be $12 or more per hour, this would represent a significant step toward that goal, unquote, a spokesperson in his office said. Senate Republican leaders expect to bring it to a floor vote this week, although its prospect in the House are unclear. The bill is far more modest than Wolf proposed in January and does require him to make a number of concessions, not the least of which is rescinding his proposed overtime regulation before a state rulemaking board votes on Thursday. Now, what's going to happen Thursday is individuals who work uncompensated overtime but earn less than, I think it's $25,000 per year, that threshold will go up to $45,000 per year, you know, minus court fights and future actions. So what this would do is the governor would rescind that, but then he gets his minimum wage, but then he doesn't get his mandatory overtime for individuals earning up to $45,000 per year.
But isn't compromise good?
Yeah, I think this
working
is...
Working together, they've achieved something?
It is good, and this is definitely the worst of all outcomes, but Republicans hate hate mandatory overtime, so they they're going to love this to death. And the minimum wage is only going to go up to $9.50 by 2020, so it'll still be 3 or 4 years behind at that time.
Well, who was covered under this mandatory overtime change?
Let's see.
I didn't see that in the story.
Okay. Well, there's a whole second paragraph of this, and it's a biggie, but here goes. The Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry, which, like most Republican lawmakers, has long opposed an increase in the minimum wage, has backed a compromise on raising the minimum wage as the lesser of two evils. Wolf's overtime proposal threatens a steeper cost increase on employers, its officials say. The federal minimum wage was last increased to $7.25 an hour back in 2009. Currently, Pennsylvania is one of 21 states whose minimum wage is set at the federal minimum. About 385,000 people in Pennsylvania hold a job that pays between $7.25 an hour and $9.50 an hour, according to the State Labor Department.
Right, but that doesn't address who would wind up paying
the
overtime.
Here's the paragraph that has what you want. Wolf began pursuing the new overtime regulation last year after fruitlessly asking lawmakers since 2015 to increase the minimum wage. The proposed overtime rule would expand overtime pay eligibility to 82,000 workers who earn above a new federal threshold that's rising to almost $36,000 on January 1st. So what happens if you are earning up to $36,000 a year and you're working overtime that generally is just simply required by your job, not volunteer overtime that salaried workers often sign up for.
Right.
This is overtime that's required. Like, let's suppose my salary was $36,000 a year here, and then the front office would have to pay me overtime for hours over 40 hours.
Okay? No matter what your job was.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It applies to everybody.
But if you're a management-level person, management-level people were excluded.
Well, generally, managers make more than $36,000, so that would carve them out. But managers would be included.
Well, I think some definition of managers would include people who are in that salary range.
But. Right. Anyway, Pennsylvania's non-farm payrolls are just above 6 million. It would phase in the increase over 3 years and require in 2022 that salaried workers earning up to $45,000 a year. Now I lost my place. Waving my arm here. That's okay. Yeah. Here we go. That salaried workers earning up to $45,000 a year get time and a half pay for any time they work over 40 hours a week. Pennsylvania's current threshold is set at the federal baseline of $23,000, although the administration said the rising federal threshold will make 61,000 workers in the state newly eligible for overtime pay. The current threshold took place back in 2004.
Okay.
All right. We'll take that caller. We lost a caller, but we'll take that individual back. Our call back now, 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back, WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. 1-800-795-9565 is the open line. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com. We've been talking about the unnecessary use of radar by local municipal police departments, speed laws that are too low, and fire sirens that aren't sounding. And Bill called in. Bill, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
There's two traffic lights. Don't travel it often, but maybe someone that does is more familiar with, you know. But if you're not on that road all the time, but coming from Lewisburg, then you go where the old Kmart is, there's a red light. But if you have that green, then there's around the turn, there's another red light, and it's dangerous. There was a tractor trailer, and a gentleman lost his life there not too long ago. that is very dangerous, and I don't understand why they don't have flashing lights or anything advising people, because it's like red light, you know, you're coming off a two-lane highway, and then you go through the first red light, and then bang, there's another red light.
It's going to get worse. There's going to be another light there when the new bypass is completed. There'll be a light between Baldwin Boulevard and 8th Avenue, another light.
Yeah, right in the middle there. They're going to add another light.
From the old Kmart building, you have the Kmart light, you'd have the light at the old Ted's Landing, you have the light at Baldwin Boulevard, the new light, and then 8th Avenue. So within about a half a mile, you'll have five traffic signals.
And Joe's very happy about all of this.
That's right. We're going to make a fortune, right? No, I'm only kidding. We're not.
Well, I understand what you're saying, Bill, but here, I don't know that more traffic signals or signage would help. Because
actually, there was a proposal. Someone mentioned to this at our borough council meeting about putting a flashing sign there that said signal ahead.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's in a turn. It's like in a turn, and if you have a high vehicle in front of you, or and if you're not, if you're out of state or not, or with the layout, it's dangerous.
Right.
Okay. Noted. Well, that's something to think about.
But it should be noted that in this accident, terrible as it was, there was no distraction on the part of the driver. He wasn't breaking the speed limit. He just said he was unfamiliar with not intoxicated or impaired in any way. He just was unfamiliar with the area, and he was looking at the signs on the side of the road to determine what he needed to do, and had a terrible accident.
Well, in Norrie, Mindy Forsman, when we talked about signage at different areas where people are doing infractions, she says signs don't help. They don't stop infractions. You know, people ignore them. You can't put more speed limit signs on a street where people are speeding. They're ignoring them anyway, signs don't help.
One of the most prevalent signs along 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and in Shamokin Dam is left lane, no trucks. I hate to tell you how many times I've seen a big truck in the left lane going up and down the highway.
All right, Bill, we'll give you the last word. Go right ahead.
Believing. The word is believing. Trump won't be leaving the White House in 2020.
Believing. Well, I think you could be right. Yep, there's no argument there. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate your call.
1-800-795-9565. Actually, if he were believing, he'd be leaving in 2021, but he's probably not leaving then either. And that's Lawrence's worthless viewpoint.
One of our emailers says, several years ago in a local town, there was an overnight fire. A home sustained heavy damage. I talked to a chief from the department. He told me that they had very limited response from the firemen. They used pagers, and the guys didn't show up. I mentioned the fire siren. He said, we don't use it, as too many complaints about it waking children. I don't know how any of the local fire departments in Union County that uses the fire alarm, even for testing, as they once did. And that was one of the complaints, noise in the middle of the night. You know, somebody sets off the fire siren.
Well, since they have pagers nowadays, that's okay. Another listener says the top text there.
Text, okay. Should be noted, good morning. The bills in the Senate are being held up by Moscow Mitch. Republicans are the problem in Washington. Should be noted, cars follow trucks too close and cut them off.
Right. Yeah, these are two completely separate topics.
Should be noted
that cars follow trucks too close and cut them off. Yeah, there's no argument there that causes accident. And then the other one, because I said that there's no progress in Washington on these bills. Yeah, I think you can definitely place blame in Washington on why there's an impasse, but the fact is that we've talked to two congressmen lately.
Well, he's blaming Moscow Mitch, and the problem is the House is holding up the bills, not the Senate.
Right.
Mitch is a senator, not a House member.
But as I was about to finish saying, is that Washington's dysfunctional and nothing's getting done, period, because of the impeachment. Doesn't matter whether it's in the House or the Senate.
I agree with you there.
Nothing is happening.
The people's business is being neglected.
And that's the congressman's viewpoint. I'm not sure it's necessarily my viewpoint, but that's what these good elected leaders are telling us. Chris, you were on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in. Last caller before a quickie break.
Well, I want to comment on a sign in Shamokin Dam when you leave Orchard Hills that I feel should be eliminated, and that's the right turn sign or right turn signal. I'm sure Joe knows what I'm talking about.
At the Baldwin Boulevard light.
Yeah.
You mean when traffic is able to make a left-hand turn from the highway into Baldwin, you don't like the arrow being set there for a right-hand turn?
When you're leaving Orchard Hills and you're going south on 1115.
Right.
There's a sign that says right turn signal, and you're allowed to turn right on red. And people, because of that sign, just sit there and wait for the light to turn green.
Oh, they don't know about turning
red. I've been behind plenty of people sitting at that light who won't make that right-hand turn on red. I agree with you there.
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't think the borough doesn't control that. The state puts those signs
there.
Well, maybe
that's an excellent point.
Maybe you could come up with an electrification jolt system that's in the pavement. So,
believe me, if I could put a shock collar on their necks and press the button, I would.
Well, I don't think you can touch people, but you can shock their car so that if they touch any metal in their car, they get a little shock.
I never thought about that, but you've got a great point there, Chris. That sign probably does distract from
people. I thought you meant I had a good point with the shocking of drivers.
Only drivers from Nori.
Thank you.
And the drivers from Nori. You didn't hear that. He said.
Oh, thank you. I do have to wait for that light. Why do I have to wait for that light sometimes?
I don't know.
Because I've been to the cemetery or the tractor parts.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate your call.
1-800-795-9565. I got to take this break. I'm going to get in deep hot water, so we're going to do that. Marcia, you're going to be on the radio in 3.5 minutes. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. I was just explaining to Joe when it's okay to hit and run.
Right.
The answer is never. Okay.
Listening very carefully to your explanation.
N-E-V-E-R. No, I'm just explaining why somebody else ran one time.
All right.
1-800-795-9565. Marcia, thank you so much for calling in. You are next on the mark.
Well, I was thinking about it yesterday, and intimidation and bullying. Isn't that what the Democrats are doing to the Republicans? Whether it started at day one when we elected a Republican president, they started impeachment and checking, and this is going to make, if they don't like you when you run for office and you don't fit their criteria, or you do something that they don't care for, they're going to spend the whole 4 years impeaching you and wasting taxpayers' money and time. So isn't that what they're doing to us, the American citizen, bullying and intimidating us, that we give them exactly what they want and who they want to run in office?
Well, it's a form of, you could say that, but it's not impeachable. It's not illegal. The question is what the president has done, is that impeachable or illegal? And that, of course, remains to be seen.
If they don't like you as who we put in and aren't going to do what they want, they're going to go digging up dirt, which dirt's not going to be hard to dig up for any of the politicians.
Well, the thing is that they were making so much of it, they were going to try and impeach him on the Mueller report. Do you hear anything about the Mueller report now, or the drive to get the underlying evidence that was so big they had to have that? And Adam Schiff had all this proof that the president had colluded with the Russians. Absolute
proof. He never said that.
Yes, he did, and it never came out. I saw somebody posted a thing, a picture of Adam Schiff saying, "I stand with Adam Schiff." Well, how do you stand with him? I mean, if the guy was presiding over a completely fair and impartial process, I would stand with him, too. But he's not. He's in there every day, yelling at Republicans, trying to question the witnesses. He won't allow the Republicans to call the witnesses they want.
Blah, blah,
blah. Blah, blah, blah.
I
agree
like
with you.
I would like to know what Biden's son did. You know, he was looking, and I got a text yesterday about all that he did do, and I think I don't want him there. Why? He did a lot of no things.
Biden.
Big things. Crimes. Biden's son.
Biden's son. Well, and
the one he was checking on.
Congressman Muser was talking about the fact that the president of this Burisma is an international criminal of some sort. Beyond that sentence, repeating what Muser said, I don't know, but he said the whole company's just bad news across the board. But let's just stipulate that the president of Burisma is the worst criminal in the world and needs to be prosecuted, and that Hunter is the second worst criminal and he needs to be prosecuted. That doesn't have anything to do with any crimes that Trump has done. You know, if those other two people need to be investigated, do so. But President Trump, offered up this quid pro quo, which, there's
The Democrats don't use that anymore. They ran focus groups, and people don't understand it. They want to use bribery and extortion now, Mark.
Yeah, well, okay, so I didn't know what the quo was either.
So, okay, so if they're extorting, well, I guess you'd be extorting President Zelensky of the Ukraine into investigating the Bidens. That's a separate crime or a separate dilemma or a separate investigation. That's what we're looking at. So, all right, well, we should have more testimony today, so we'll have some more to talk about. Actually, I think it started. I think it started at 9 this time.
Yeah, it started at 9 o'clock, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Marcia. Very much appreciated. I think most people around here tend to agree with you. So thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. I've never actually seen the lights. That's interesting.
Blinded by the light. Right. Another deuce wrapped up like a runner in the night. We have a call coming in, so we'll get to that in a moment.
We also talked about fire sirens earlier, and to that end, there's this.
Amazing that people would complain that a fire siren or alarm is offensive as it wakes up their kids. I wonder if their house was on fire, would they complain? I grew up in Shamokin, two blocks away from the fire siren on top of City Hall. I don't remember being upset if the siren woke me.
Well, and I wonder if Shamokin still uses theirs. They're one of the municipalities that had one. All right, we got the phone ringing now, 1-800-795-9565. The telephone number. Did we read this? This is the last siren email.
Yes, we did. I read that.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I did.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. What's this? That's the one you read. Just hit delete, Joe. How many times do we got
to
do
this?
You. All right, let me give you some important information about the Sunbury Motor Company. Okay, I'm not going to talk about the Sunbury Motor Company. I am going to talk about people. Let's talk about Jason Benford. You know who that is? Well, that is one of the fabulous salespeople at the Lincoln dealership in Sunbury. It's at Sunbury Motor Company on North 4th Street in Sunbury. How about Mickey Anselmo? You know who she is? She's the super-duper truck dealer that's over there. Jeff Clock and Mike DeFeo are also over there, large and in charge at the Sunbury Motor Company, making sure that sales happen. You can go to the Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and talk to Ernie, who's just a super-duper guy, or Austin is over there. Austin Martin is there, and they will make you feel like you are worth $1 million because they treat you fabulously, and they give you top dollar for your vehicle, and they put you in the brand-new Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specifications, or some completely checked out in every conceivable way pre-owned vehicles. They got a couple of Sierra truck that's down there, and a Tacoma, and a wide range of fabulous vehicles with ultra-low mileage that are in perfect condition and are ready to go. So that's at the Sunbury Motor Company. So see Jason, Mickey, Jeff, Mike, Ernie, or Austin, and they'll square you away pronto. Welcome back. You didn't hear that, did you?
I did.
I don't think so. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Joe has beans in his ears, which is making it impossible to see common sense when it comes to impeachment. So it's a pickle. Bob, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
Gentlemen, hope you're having a good day today.
We are.
I want to talk about impeachment. You know, I keep hearing this whole thing again, that the reason that we're doing this impeachment is because Donald Trump wanted a foreign power to interfere or weaken his opponent for next year in Joe Biden. My first thing when I think about that is, how do we know Joe Biden's going to be the Democratic nominee? I mean, there's like 17 people still running.
Well, at the time, he was in the lead, so it wasn't
Let me correct you on that.
Okay.
The phone call that started all this with the whistleblower was made on April 21st of this year.
Okay.
Joe Biden entered the race April 25th. So now we're saying that Donald Trump was able to see 4 days in the future and know that Biden was going to enter into the race and was going to win the nomination, and that Trump was going to try to knock him out.
Well, the president claims
that's the only way we can say that he was truly doing this to try to win the 2020 race, right?
Okay, but I think everybody has known that Vice President Biden's been in the race since, for a couple of years
now. Well, everybody also kept saying that Hillary Clinton was getting in the race again this year, and we haven't seen her yet in the race.
And he kept denying that he was going to jump in.
Right, and exactly. So up until So how could he have been acting on something 4 days before the announcement was made that he was actually in the race?
Because he and everybody else really knew that he was getting in.
Come on.
Okay, so let's suppose...
So now he's a mind reader, yeah. Donald Trump, on top of everything else.
He says
so
he's very insightful.
If that's the case, then certainly he knows he wasn't going to get in trouble or what, you know. I mean, it's a stretch. I mean, let's face it, this is political. The problem with it is that at some point there'll be a Democrat in the White House, there'll be the Republicans in charge, and then there's going to be a tit-for-tat, and I think you're going to have a case where every president's going to be getting impeached or an impeachment inquiry started.
Well, Joe, read this. Hold on, Bob. Read this email.
Yeah, one of our emailers is right on line with what you're saying. Question, do you see this happening in the next election and the next election after that? When someone wins and it's not suitable to the other party, they will bring them down all the time. This will end every president we try to elect. I agree.
And that's what I fear, is that I mean, you know, and when you read the writings of our founding fathers, they were really fought and concerned about impeachment because they were afraid it could possibly give too much power to one branch of the government, namely the Congress, that they could go and for political reasons or they didn't like somebody in office to just say, hey, here you go, we're, you know, and that's why they set the bar as high crime, you know, bribery, high crimes and misdemeanors.
Right.
And to try to eliminate to just going after somebody for political reasons. And, you know, I think that it would do our Congress people good to maybe go back and read some of the writings, you know, the Federalist Papers and things like that, and see where their heads were before they go forward. Because, and the reality is, I think it's 60 votes or 67 votes that has to happen in the Senate. And I don't see 67 votes. So I think that we're wasting time. And that's the other part. Until we go through these hearings, write up articles of impeachment, and it will be into the holiday season, then we're going to start a hearing at the first of the year where all the senators must be present, which then means Elizabeth Warren will have to suspend her campaign. Bernie Sanders will have to suspend his campaign. Kamala Harris will have to suspend her. I mean, there's four or five senators that will have to suspend their campaign because they have to be there in the room for the hearings, you know, for the actual impeachment. So,
and guess who benefits? Guess who benefits?
Joe Biden.
Yeah, guess who benefits?
The leg up.
Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg get the leg up. The more moderates,
right? They would get the leg up because they could continue. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't think that they're seeing all this through unless, you know, they're going to bring all these nasty things, you know, we call people names, blah, 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 and then say, well, we decided it isn't enough for impeachment and end it. I don't see them doing that, but it's like, you know, is it a case to try to weaken the president, which then means impeachment was truly then political? It's kind of scary, you know. The place that we're going to. I mean, by all means, if there's something out there that says he did something, you know, I mean, I'd
well,
be
we
all
got
for
you,
it,
Bob.
You know?
I understand what you're saying.
I wish we had those mechanisms in lower offices for impeachment processes.
Yeah.
You know, that you could.
That
sometimes you could do that. You know, if because, I mean, you look even in our state where there's been times where somebody has been charged. The trial's going on. At the last second, they resign, and then they keep their pension.
It's gotcha. Like, all right. Thank you so much, Bob.
Oh, one
no,
quick
no, no,
thing.
No more. Sorry. Paul, thank you so much for waiting 7 minutes. You are on the mark.
Okay. How would you guys like to have this area be classified as the most dangerous highway in the country?
Which highway? Route 11 or 147?
The whole thing, the bypass, the bridge, everything.
Well, it's not dangerous.
No, wait a minute. Do you ever make any travels down on Route 30 going into Gettysburg?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay, did you ever see the
going
six
into Gettysburg?
Cars that were mounted
30
on
across Gettysburg, but actually 15 is the one that runs in from here.
Is what you're talking
about. But 30 does run through Gettysburg.
Okay, well, they had the most major accidents on that highway that as you got close to the intersection, there was a sign that says, be careful and driving, for you are traveling on one of the 10 most dangerous highways. And the state made them take those cars that had the major accidents and the people that got killed in it, and they made the improvement, so the state told them they had to take it down because the highway was no longer a hazard. And soon you're going to have this in the air.
You think we'll have that around here, huh?
The reason I said that is because you have Bucknell, Bloomsburg, State College, Bloomsburg, and all these colleges, and right now, if you travel on the weekend, you'll see that the traffic is heavy, and a lot of people don't know where to go and what they should do in order to get on the right road.
All right, we got you. All right, thank you so much. Appreciate the call, Paul. Thanks for calling in.
One of our texters says, impeachment is a farce. The left are trying to remove a duly elected president. Do you remember the meltdown that the left had when Trump said maybe he wouldn't accept the results of the 2016 election? Who are the ones not accepting the election?
It's a coup. He didn't say it's a coup. I said that. People
say
that all the
time. Attempted coup.
Well, in the past, maybe.
Many people say it's a COO. Some people say it's a COUP.
They just do that to irritate you. But let's go back to Bob's call where he said that Joe Biden hadn't yet gotten in the race. Because of research and so on, the president knew exactly who the presidential contenders were at that time, and Joe Biden was one. They had already done some polling, so they knew that he was a contender. And even if he was just a possibility of running, just considering it, President Trump had an opportunity to ask the president of the Ukraine to investigate Hunter Biden because he knew it could potentially help a potential rival, not an actual rival, not an actual candidate, but a potential rival. So he's asking the president of Ukraine to look into somebody who's connected to a potential rival. It doesn't have to be an announced candidate to be an impeachable offense. He wants that quid pro quo, or extortion, to use the proper term. He wanted that.
Research term. That's the term they prefer you use now.
Well,
extortion,
quid pro quo,
bribery
is fine. Or I like the one that they use at the Baltimore Aquarium now. Their favorite animal, their new animal, is the squid pro quo, who is a wonderful fish.
If the president,
type of fish.
If the president could be heard on record saying, listen, I'm concerned about what went on in the 2016 election with Joe Biden's son, Hunter, would you please investigate that, just to make certain that we understand everything that happened in the election? The Democrats are pushing to find out more about the Mueller report. They want to know all the underlying facts. I'd like to know these underlying facts. If that's what came out of this, I would say he was well within his rights.
Well, yeah, then,
but if, on the other hand, what comes out of this is, hey, you investigate Biden, or I don't give you the money, or I do this, or I you don't do that, then that it is almost bribery or extortion.
Right. That's all I'm saying. I don't even know if it is impeachable. I'm not saying it's an impeachable offense. It certainly is inappropriate. But, as we know, the president often has many inappropriate things on his agenda.
Let's face it. Lying under oath was an impeachable offense, and Bill Clinton was impeached but not convicted.
Okay.
This may well be deemed by the legislature to be an impeachable offense, but I don't think it justifies removal.
Yeah, let's move on. Let's do the impeachment vote now. Get these articles drafted based on what we already know, and let's move on.
But I'm just amazed at how they completely dropped anything about Mueller. There's not a thing about Mueller.
Get over that.
Not a thing.
We're done with that. We're moving on.
But they were working on impeachment even before this on that issue, and now it's completely gone.
Right. Moving on.
Moving on.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about traffic laws and fire sirens. Oh, we got that out of the way.
Yes, we did.
We will have open phones tomorrow, so please join us. We'd love to see you on the radio tomorrow at 8:30 a.m. with Rob Center, the fabulous producer, Joe McGranahan, the ultra-conservative, natural-born listener, and me, the ultra-liberal something else. This is WKOK Sunbury.